Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Paul Lawrence, and this morning's conversation is with Dr. Rita Colwell, Director of the National Science Foundation. Joining us in our conversation is Tom Burrell. Well, Rita, could you tell us more? You've talked a lot about partnerships this morning. Could you tell us how NSF is using partnerships to fulfill its mission?
Partnerships are critical to the mission of NSF. School systems partnering with universities under the math and science partnerships, a wonderful program called GK-12, graduate students who actually spend time in the classroom, elementary, middle, and high school for the 20 hours a week for their stipend instead of working in the undergraduate laboratory, which is more traditional. Universities and industry through the science and technology centers, the engineering research centers, partnerships for innovation program. These have been enormously successful. States and universities with NSF under EPSCoR, the experimental program for experimental research. This program is to bring those 100 universities that are in the lower half of success rate into a competitive scheme amongst themselves so that they don't find themselves always competing against Stanford and Harvard and Berkeley and Illinois, but they can compete amongst themselves. This has been extremely successful, building infrastructure capacity. NSF and other agencies of the federal government, with EPA, with NIH program, for example, with NIH and mathematical biology programs, with Department of Energy and high energy physics. We have a new program in human and social dynamics that has brought a lot of interest from the intelligence community, which is a new partnership. Our Scholarship for Service program contributes a whole cadre of information assurance professionals as part of a broader National Security Agency program on protecting cyber infrastructure, which we now know is more and more important. And again, with NIH, we're partnering on the Biomedical Information Science and Technology Initiative, and we certainly have been partnering with them on genome sciences. So partnerships, that's our middle name.
Doctor, we're all acutely aware of the responsibilities of Secretary Ridge and the Department of Homeland Security. Can you share with us the role that the National Science Foundation plays in Homeland Security, particularly in relationship between scientific freedom and national security?
Well, firstly, let me say that you will be surprised to learn that one of the first agencies to be at ground zero post 9/11 was the National Science Foundation. We had engineers there examining the rubble, the steel, the twisted steel, and so forth, developing a computer model of exactly what did happen and providing a sense of what could be used for materials in the future. We have engineers doing 3D mapping of the interiors and exteriors of buildings that were damaged near the World Trade Center. That's another example. We also had scientists from our Social, Behavioral, and Economic Sciences Directorate there doing economic impact studies, doing effect on humans, just the folks who live in the area and survived. And then those small shoebox-sized robots that were used to search for, we hoped, survivors, but victims were found. This was an NSF principal investigator, Robin Murphy, and the funding from DARPA and NSF was involved in the development of those robots, which are now part of the armamentarium of the FEMA, Federal Emergency Management Agency. So these small grants for exploratory research, these are small scale, short term. We can get these grants out quickly in 24 hours if we had to, and we did in the case of post 9/11, as opposed to months with initial review internal, because we have scientists, very good scientists in-house, and extensions to grants that are already in place. So we are able to fund now an investment of over $300 million in FY 2003 in science and engineering that will have an extraordinary impact on defense, intelligence, and security. We have several studies underway of above ground and underground infrastructure systems, services, their independence coordination with first responders. These are connected to the World Trade Center disaster. We also funded the Institute for Genomic Research, TIGER, to study and identify the genome of the Florida anthrax strain that appeared after 9/11. So I would say that in Homeland Security, we're doing a great deal. I would also add that we're doing a lot on cyber infrastructure, cybersecurity. Ironically, September 1st, 2001, we had announced an award, a request for proposals for awards to be made in cyber security. So we were sort of ahead of the game, and we've certainly increased our emphasis on cybersecurity since then. So I would say that you might be surprised to know that an agency that has a mission of fundamental research in science and engineering was there immediately after 9/11.
Well, certainly, I think that would be comforting to the citizens to know that some of our brightest minds under the stewardship of the National Science Foundation are working on those very important problems. Can you tell us a little bit about the Committee on Science of the National Science and Technology and your role as the co-chair?
Committee on Science is a coordinating committee for all of science throughout the federal government. And it looks at different topics such as indirect costs, infrastructure needs for the whole nation across all agencies, a focus on the oceans will be one of the new things we'll do to bring the ocean sciences into a cross-agency focus. It's co-chaired by Kathy Olson in the Office of Science and Technology Policy, Elias Zahuni, the director of NIH, and myself as director of the National Science Foundation. And we find this to be a very, very good way to interconnect with other agencies on things like high-end computing needs for the nation, infrastructure needs, and so forth. So I would say that it's a very effective mechanism for coordinating science and engineering activities across the federal government.
Could you tell us about some of the honorary awards that NSF administers? I was thinking about the President's National Medal of Science, for example.
Well, the Medal of Science is always an exciting event each year. These are awards made to U.S. scientists and engineers for their very special contributions to scientific knowledge. And it's probably as close as anything we have to the Nobel Prize. Of course, I must mention that with respect to the Nobel Prize, since its inception, the turn of the century, and remember, NSF was started only in 1950, about 150 Nobel laureates were NSF grantees before or during the time they got the Nobel Prize. So we pick them well.
Doctor, I'm going to ask you to look into your crystal ball a bit now. Can you tell us where you see the National Science Foundation in the next 5 to 10 years?
I think that the National Science Foundation is very, very important for the future of our country. The fundamental research that we do is important for economic strength, for national security. I mentioned some of the things we're doing already, and I could point out that we've developed a high-tech inspection system from an SBIR grant for sea cargo containers that could protect vulnerable port areas from terrorist incursions. And I see that not only for national security, but for social stability in providing education for the next generation scientists and engineers, young children who can go on to become scientists and engineers, which are high income jobs that contribute to the national welfare. I think that these are ways that we contribute significantly to the future of the United States. I see the National Science Foundation as the agency that creativity blossoms, new discoveries are made from which new jobs, new companies, new industry are developed. For national security through cybersecurity, for our computers, for our banking industry. I think the National Science Foundation has a firm place in the future of our country.
At the beginning of our show, you described your career, which is very interesting. It cut across several different segments, the public sector, or the academic sector. So I'm curious, what advice would you give to someone interested in a career in public service?
I would say that if you have any inclination to science or engineering, go for it. It's a wonderful way to develop a career, science and engineering. It's international. Your friendships are international. I would urge anyone interested in administration to learn how to run a project, learn how to chase an idea to its discovery and ultimate completion of that idea. That is one way, I think, to learn how to manage in the future, because if you have a great idea, for whether it's for a new mousetrap, or whether it's an idea about how to do science even better, by fulfilling that idea to its completion, that will teach you how to manage larger and larger projects, and ultimately you may too become director of the National Science Foundation.
Reed, I'm afraid that'll have to be the last question. Tom and I want to thank you for being with us this morning.
Thank you very much. It's been a pleasure to be here. If you want to learn more about the National Science Foundation, go on the web to nsf.gov.
This has been the Business of Government Hour, featuring a conversation with Dr. Rita Colwell, the director of the National Science Foundation. Be sure and visit us on the web at businessofgovernment.org. There you can learn more about our programs and get a transcript of today's interesting conversation. Again, this is businessofgovernment.org. This is Paul Lawrence. Thank you for listening.